Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Trying to lose weight? It's time to try Hers. At ForHers.com/4U, you can access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss treatments tailored just for you. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at ForHers.com/4U to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's ForHers.com/4U. ForHers.com/4U. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at ForHers.com. Apply.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson, here on the Maroon Friday edition of The Yard. I tell you what, man, with football in the mornings and radio in the mornings and football stuff in the afternoon, the day gets away from you quick. Hope that you've enjoyed our free coverage over at jeanspage.com. We had 10 assistant coaches. All those videos and articles are up for free. We had Jeff Lebby yesterday, and today we had 4 players. Going to talk a little bit about that. 2 of those articles are already up. We'll have 2 more out in the morning, if not tonight. And next thing you know, we'll have a few more tomorrow. So if you're looking to get your football fixed, then look no further than jeanspage.com. You've got a 60% off promotion running right now off the annual subscription. It's a great deal. Absolutely a great deal. And again, you don't have to be a subscriber to partake of what we call big room content, right? When we do a press conference or there is a, the huddled media mass, if it's not an exclusive deal, we make that stuff free. We don't put that behind a paywall. So you can enjoy that. So even if you can't afford a subscription, which most people can, but I understand it. I get it. We still want to be your source for Mississippi State information. So you come by, you can check it out. It's free. And a lot of other stuff going on, too. And we're going to talk about that. But just like the last show, a lot of football content on this show. And it's so interesting, too. Like, I enjoy a good internet troll when I see one. But I wonder where all the good internet trolls have gone. Because there's a lot of people out there. It's like, you know, Mershon, of course. We're going to talk about that before we get out of here. But, last week, up until we started camp, up until Thursday, what was the biggest story in the Mississippi State fan base? I'll give you a second. What was the biggest story? Was Dave Mershon going to come back to Mississippi State? Biggest story. And, of course, that concluded the same day we started camp, right? And so we got resolution on that. Matter of fact, we were at camp waiting to talk to Jeff Levy when the news broke. Of course, we already had a story ready to go. But it's interesting. You know, people want to be critical. So, you know, so listen, I know how to package content. I've been doing this since 1997, Mr. Troll. And so better luck next time. Because if you listen to the show, it was mainly a football show, and today will be mainly a football show. And, you know, now that we're in football season, guess what? It's going to be mainly football content, Ansan. It's true. It's absolutely true. And you know what? What's dominated the headlines this summer? I don't know if you've kept up, but Mississippi State's portal recruiting. So we've dedicated a lot of time to that. I'm going to give you a little update on that later in the show, too. But I tell you one thing, a couple things I wanted to say today, before we get real deep into the show. There's some things not necessarily related to Mississippi State that irritate me. And so call this the classic Robertson rant segment of the show. Hadn't done one of these in a while. One of the things that absolutely drives me crazy, and my wife says I shouldn't let this kind of stuff bother me, but it does. It bothers me. You know, politics has made a lot of people stupid. Truly. I don't care who you vote for. I just want you to vote. Period. I mean, you're not going to change my opinion. I'm not going to change yours. Some of my best friends are people that are across the aisle from me. And I respect their opinions. I respect their right to believe as they choose. Right? But every single time anything happens nationally, it doesn't matter what it is, or even internationally, every single time it becomes this issue of tribalism. Like, can we not just stop excusing negative behavior? Like, if somebody out there is doing something illegal, somebody is doing something harmful to others, harmful to the community, can we not just say it's wrong? I mean, is that too much of a jump for us to say, you know what, hey, this is wrong. This is not good for society. This is not good for our community. This is not good for my household. Without having some big debate, we don't have to disagree on everything. We don't. And that's the thing to me, because I'll be honest with you guys. You don't know a lot of my political views. You don't. I'm a lot more anti-establishment than you think. You know, I think there are a lot of people out there that have a vested interest in keeping us divided. They do. They don't want us to agree. They don't want harmony. And I'm a firm believer in this. And like V for Vendetta is one of my favorite movies of all time. Loved the movie. Loved the character V. I've got a V for Vendetta t-shirt. Love it. I've got a Guy Fawkes mask in my office because I love that movie so much. Because I love the fact that it's the people that mattered in the end of that movie, right? Everybody's been kind of manipulated, and there's all this misinformation in the media, and that's in the movie, not just in real life, right? But there's all these people, like, what they want us to do is, like, be at odds with each other. And I heard a guy say in a meeting one time, an AA meeting, he goes, you know, 99% of the stuff people get pissed off about, it's not their business. And when he said that, I thought, well, that's a little kind of cynical. You know what? He's absolutely right. I mean, there are so many things that become these big civic debates that have absolutely no impact on us. But people are ready to come to blows. Have you looked at Facebook lately? It's incredible. And listen, I stumbled upon the whole, I'm a Twitter guy, love Twitter. They can call it whatever they wanted to, but it's Twitter. And the little column over there that says For You, right? There's the following For You. I stumbled on the For You column a while back. I'd never looked at it before. And I get over there and I think to myself, how do these people get enough strength to even get out of bed each morning? Everything is such a crisis. It is absolutely phenomenal how crazy all this stuff gets. So I love you, and I respect your right to believe and live as you choose. I also respect your right to be wrong. And one of the things that long-term recovery has taught me is I can be perfectly okay with you being wrong and not have to be the constant corrector. And there are so many people that glean so much self-esteem out of that. It's like somebody put something wrong on social media, they cannot wait. You know, to go put a community note on it. You know, people can't wait for you to be wrong. Because everybody loves to make somebody else stumble. Maybe not everybody, but there's a huge segment of population. They can't wait to pounce when you're wrong about something. Or even if you believe something different than them. Listen, I don't care if you think God rides a Harley and smokes Roy Tans. If that's what you believe, then more power to you. I know what I believe. I know what is true in my life. And I am not so insecure in my own belief that I have to come out and thrash your beliefs. You are absolutely welcome to believe, worship, invest, opine as you choose, and you can remain friends with Steve Robertson. Because my opinions aren't going to be swayed by that kind of stuff. I don't think I have to have an opinion on everything. I just want to talk about Mississippi State and music and love my kids, my grandkids, my wife, love all of you. You know, that keeps me busy. You know, I don't need to be out here with everything else. And one of the things that I want to say before we get into the regular part of the show, you know, maybe it's because of the fact that I was mainly raised by women when I was a really small child. You know, my parents were divorced when I was 15 months old, and loved my dad. Absolutely loved my dad. He was my best friend. You know, and we lost him, goodness, almost 20 years ago now. But loved my dad. So glad that I got a lot of my strongest qualities from him. But my grandmother is the greatest woman I've ever known. Ever. Ever. You talk about a true Southern matriarch. She was incredible. And she loved everybody. Taught us to love and forgive people. And one of the things that she always used to tell me is I'd have something, you know, maybe I'd go to school or whatever, and somebody had more than me or did better than me, and my self-esteem was shattered. My grandmother would take me up in her lap, and she would say, "You know what, baby, nobody's better than you. And we're not better than anybody else, but nobody's better than you." And it took me a while to kind of figure that out, you know. But my Aunt Kathy's very close to me. She doesn't have any children. She'll tell you I'm the closest thing to a child she'll ever have. My mom, of course, very important to me. I have four sisters. And so I'm very, very, very sensitive and protective of women. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you I've always been the best boyfriend or husband. I've never abused anybody. I've never, ever, ever mistreated anybody. Now, I would think, I'd like to believe, that if you polled all of my exes, even if things didn't work out, they wouldn't have many negative things to say about me. Even when I was in active addiction, I knew not to mistreat women. True story. But I had an incident earlier today, and it makes the hair on the back of my neck stand up. I cannot stand when I hear a guy verbally abusing a woman in public. Now, I can only begin to imagine what happens at home, and I'm not going to get too involved in all that. But if you are in my presence and you speak down to a woman in my presence, I don't care if she's your wife or woman or not, I am going to say something. Because that's not how people are going to behave in my presence. Again, you do what you want to in your house. But when you bring that stuff into public and bring it in my face, I'm going to respond. And I had a situation today. I don't know what happened before they got in the car. I mean, you know what? She may be the most difficult person in the world to live with. I don't know. But I know this. The look on her face as he berated her was something that I simply couldn't ignore. And I'm not doing this to encourage other people to get involved in those situations. I'm really just kind of an appeal to people. If you're going to argue, and sometimes we're all going to, as part of the human condition, can we not do it publicly? I'm a firm believer in, you know, praise in public and criticize in private. I think that applies to relationships too. And I tell you this, to the lovely woman that shares my name and my life and my residence and all these businesses with me, I have never called her the B word in my life. And she'll tell you, I don't talk to her that way. And there's been some times, hey, she's done some things that has royally pissed me off, and vice versa, right? But I've never used that language to her. As a matter of fact, there was somebody very close to her in her family. I kicked out of my house because they called her the B word in my children's presence. And I thought, you know what? Hey, no, we're not doing that. I'm the husband here. I'm the father here. I pay the mortgage here. And I told this person, nobody speaks to my wife that way, including me. And if I don't talk to her that way, you don't get to talk to her that way. And that's how I feel about it. So please, 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 I'm asking you. I love all women. I do. Love some more than others. I love them all. Absolutely all of them. Don't always agree with them, but I love them all. And I think part of our duty as men is to raise our sons to be gentlemen and our daughters to respect and expect to be treated like ladies by gentlemen. And I have thought about this so many times. I've been so fortunate. My girls are very intelligent. And, you know, I always say whoever they choose to date is probably a good person because of the fact of the values that we've instilled in them and the way we've raised them. But if somebody ever disrespected one of my daughters, that you probably will see me on television. I'm just going to tell you this how it is, because I absolutely am not going to tolerate that. Now, with all that said, we're going to get into some Mississippi State stuff, but it really irritated me, and I said something. The guy didn't appreciate it, and you know what? I don't care. But you know what? It also diffused the situation. It's like, hey, do we have to do that here? Guys, I don't know what's going on. Let's not do it here. Please, let's not do it here. And he backed down. And he was embarrassed. He should have been. Let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of the show. I love Bulldog Burger Company. And let me tell you, an exciting new option just added to the menu, the Comeback Burger. Have you seen it? Have you tasted it? I haven't yet. I shared the post on Facebook yesterday, and I can tell you this. I'm excited about this. Every time they get something new, I've got FOMO, right? The fear of missing out. I'm like, well, hey, wait a minute. They've kind of changed it up on me here. What do I need to do, right? Well, I got to go grab another burger. That's what I got to do. And that's what I'm going to do. At some point this weekend, I will partake of the new Comeback Burger at Bulldog Burger Company. And yeah, and here's the thing, too. Like, they have so many things, you can tell. There's just a lot to it. There's a lot of things that happen. And here's just so you know. Directly from the Bulldog Burger Company of Starkville Facebook page, and if you're not following them, you should. Introducing the Comeback Burger. We're keeping it simple with this one. Beef, cheese, lettuce, tomato, fried onion straws, all topped with a tangy comeback sauce and served on a sriracha bun. This is sure to be your new favorite. Come check it out. Don't wait too long. We'll only be running it this month, in the month of August. It's already August 2nd. I got 29 days to kind of get my fill of this one, and I'm going to check it out. I cannot wait. So if it's not tonight, it'll be tomorrow, probably tomorrow. I'm going to have that. Be sure and check them out. Bulldog Burger Company, always adding new exciting options to the menu, but you know what? You know what's tried and true, don't you? The spring rolls. Have those spring rolls, your appetizer, make you and everybody around you better looking. We all need more of that. We do. Some of you more than me, but it's true. Three great locations to serve you: University Drive in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. Get that chocolate shake to go. Ride that ride home with a smile. I'm telling you how to do life. I'm just telling you. You know, and maybe you're doing it bigger and better than me, but I can promise you this. Nobody dines better at Bulldog Burger Company than I do, because I go in there and enjoy the full experience. I encourage you to do the same. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. All right, and so since we have been together, lots happened. We had the assistant coaches earlier this week, and then, of course, Coach Lebby. And Jeff Lebby kind of has kind of an undefinable quality about him. Like, we talk about people having a presence. You know, people say, well, you know, this guy kind of has it. You know, Jeff Lebby is one of those kinds of people, when you're around him, you sit down one-on-one with him, you can kind of see why he's a really good recruiter. And even handling the media yesterday, and listen, there's only so much you can say, first day of practice, right? Hey, well, Coach, who's really standing out? Well, I mean, you know, some people are kind of forced to ask that question, but nobody's standing out yet. Okay, they're not. Pads aren't even on yet. That'll happen tomorrow. But it's one of those things that I think you kind of get a sense, you know, Jeff Lebby, I think, number one, kind of understands the task ahead of him. I think he also understands, too, that there are some big things ahead at Mississippi State. And I was on a show earlier, the Mitch Davis show, and you'll be able to check that out next day or so. But we talked a little bit about the history of Mississippi State football and, you know, the big tenures. Like, I can kind of define it for you in a few, right? The first major hire was Major Raph Sassy, a former coach at Army. We hired him in the 1930s, came in, took us to our first bowl game. It's incredible. We lost him prematurely, you know, due to some health issues. But, after that, you know, we kind of drifted a little bit, and then we hired Alan McKean, you know, one of the greatest eras in the history of Mississippi State football. And reading, as I worked on the dude, And you go through all these old articles and you find these quotes and these press conferences and things like that. And there's one thing that I would say that Sasse, McKean, Cheryl, Mullen have in common. There is this confidence, not necessarily cockiness, but a true, genuine confidence in what they're doing. And I sense some of the same things in Jeff Lebby. Now, is Jeff Lebby going to be as good as Dan Mullen or Cheryl or McKean? I can't make you that promise. But he has those undefinable qualities that great leaders have.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I had a chance to interview Mark Votler yesterday. You guys may not know that name. Mark Votler is a director of player personnel at Mississippi State, basically heads up the recruiting team. A team of nine people. Now, there was a time not too long ago people were like, hey, we need more people. Well, we got more people. We do. And Mark is the king of that. Now, he would disagree with that sentiment because that's not how he carries himself. But I want to share something with you that he told me. And the last question I asked him, and you can read this article. It's very lengthy, but it's over at jeanspage.com for free. I run what we call the conversation series when I get a chance to sit down and do one-on-one interviews with, you know, coaches, administrators, people like that. And typically those are VIP, but I felt like, you know what, it's important that you guys know who Mark Votler is and what he's about. So we have a series of questions, kind of in the old Rolling Stone format, you know, for those of you that used to subscribe. But I said, hey, Mark, you know, you've worked at Ohio State, you've worked at Tennessee, you've worked at Alabama. You know, why was Jeff Lebby the move for you? Why was that the right move? The exact question was, why was that the right horse for you to hitch your wagon to? And here's what Mark had to say. If you walk through this building and all the guys who knew him from before would say the same thing that I'm about to say, I think the guys that didn't know him would say the same thing. He is an incredible human being first. He cares about people. He has this aura about him that you just want to follow him. There's just something about him. I mess with Coach about this sometimes. I have a buddy who works for CAA. That's Jimmy Sexton's firm. We both came out together as student workers in Tennessee. He sent me a text when I accepted this job. And back in September of 2018, he had texted me and asked me if we had any up-and-coming coaches. And that was, of course, when he was at Central Florida. I didn't even remember sending him that text, but it said, Jeff Lebby, our quarterbacks and OC is going to be big time in 5 years. You need to get down here and talk to him. He screenshot that and sent it to me when I got here and said, hey, you were only off by 1 year. When I first met Lebby, I just knew. He's so detail-oriented. He relates to anybody and everybody. He gets it. There's no BS that comes along with so much you see these days. He is focused on the right things. He keeps the main thing the main thing. How he treats people is important. I would run through a brick wall for him. There were some other jobs that he was in on, and I knew the second he got one, I was going to go with him. My family has moved a lot the last 4 years. We just got in Ohio State, and I told Mackenzie, that's his wife, I didn't care. We had to go. And my wife loves him too. All she had to do was get on the phone with him once and ask him a few questions. When she got off the phone, she said, we're going to Mississippi State with him. I know with first-year head coaches, there's some difficulty. When I sat in that first staff meeting, I walked out knowing that he was prepared for this. The bottom line with Coach is how he treats people and how he respects people. It was a no-brainer for me. I will stay with him until he kicks me out, and I tell him that all the time. If that's not a ringing endorsement, I don't know what is. And again, think about the situation Mark Votler was in. Right, came up as a student worker, kind of worked his way around. You know, you got to pay your dues in this profession. And he gets to Ohio State. He's working for Ryan Day. Ohio State obviously has proven to be a very, very, very good football program historically, and certainly the last 10 years. And it had been easy to say, you know what, HF, it's not a good time for us. You know, we just got here. You know, we got a young kid, you know, 3 years old. And, you know, I just got my feet on the ground here in Columbus. It had been easy to tell Levy no, but he didn't. And then Levy convinced his wife, too, this is the right move. And he comes down here, and now he's leading your recruiting efforts. I've said this many times on the show. I don't want anybody in the SEAL complex that doesn't want to be there. And that's from the coach down to the cleaning staff. I don't want anybody in the building that doesn't think Mississippi State is the best place they could possibly be and the best job they could possibly have. And I understand you have some ambitious people that come in, and this is a stepping stone situation for them. You have assistant coaches that come in. They're paying their dues. And then eventually you become head coaches somewhere else. You have staffers that come in and that work at entry-level staff positions and eventually get promotion opportunities elsewhere. I understand that. But while they're here, I want them to think, hey, this is the greatest thing ever, ever. And that's exactly what I experience when I talk to the staff. There's just a different air in the building. And down the stretch last year, I mean, when things got really tough, I mean, you walk into the SEAL building and you could feel the stress. It was absolutely palpable. It stressed me out to walk in there. You go to media opportunities and you're like, man, I just want to get through this. I hope we can make it through this without an awkward moment. Because things were so tight. I mean, you walk in there and it's like, you know, your chest just, you know, automatically you pull your shoulders back to give your chest room to kind of pull forward. It was a difficult deal. The body language in that building last year, especially the second half of the year, was not good. The body language in that building this year, completely different. And it's a lot of the same guys. Of course, you know, we flipped the roster a good bit and got 40 new Bulldogs. But yesterday, had J.J. Harrell walk up to me. Just, you know, where I'm getting ready to leave the building. He walks up, dabs me up, gives me a hug. And you can just see in his face how happy he is. Now, he didn't get a chance to play a whole lot this spring. He's a little bit banged up. He's coming around. Bump said the same thing in our media opportunity. But there is, I'll just call it for what I say. There's a joy in the building. Now, I understand these guys are probably facing, you know, 6-6, 7-5 year if things work out the way we think. But I don't think they believe that. I think these guys already, with a spring and a summer under their belts, I think they're completely bought into what Jeff Lebby's doing. I think they believe, hey, coach is going to be able to dial up some plays to get us some points on the board. I'm a little concerned about QB2, you know, and hopefully it doesn't come to that. And that's not to be critical of Michael Van Buren or Chris Parson at all. It's a new system, right? And so Blake Shapen has played in this system and had the opportunity to kind of get familiar with some of its concepts. And so you're asking an awful lot, you know, of a freshman. You know, fortunately, we were able to redshirt Chris Parson last year, even though he played a little bit. Yeah, but Chris is going to need some time. He's got all the skills, you know. But, you know, I hope we don't get into a situation where we have to play a younger guy this year, especially considering all these moving parts that we have. But no matter what happens this year, I'm pretty much convinced that Jeff Lebby's going to win big at Mississippi State. One of the things that I have learned about leaders, and there are a lot of people that can fake it. There's this false bravado out there, you know, and it's like the more you push them, like, right, the more you push them, the more evidence they want to give you that they're tough. You know, tough people don't have to convince you of that. They're just tough. You know, so many people out there that say, you know, I'm not this, I'm not that. Look at this evidence. You know, he protests us too much, right? You know, I remember, to kind of give you a media example, you know, when Dan Lanning got the job at Oregon, I don't remember who broke the story. I don't. But the name Dan Lanning really wasn't associated closely with that job. He maybe mentioned kind of as maybe a potential dark horse candidate. But the young man that came out and broke the story that Dan Lanning was going to get the job at Oregon, everybody in a national college, maybe not everybody, maybe it's a bit of an exaggeration, but nearly everybody in the college football media panned the report. And rather than respond and defend himself, the guy just let it sit out there. And ultimately, he was proven correct. See, that's gangster. It's not all this other stuff telling people how tough you are, right? Telling people how good you are. Telling people how well-sourced you are. You just go out there and put it out there and let the chips fall where they may. I got respect for that, man. I do. I sense some of that same level of confidence in Jeff Labbing and his staff. It's like, you know, hey, listen, we're realistic. We understand it's year one with a retooled roster. There's going to be some ups and downs. There's probably going to be some Saturdays and things just don't go the way we expect, the way we want. But we know we're working towards something bigger. I told you guys when we hired Jeff Lebby, I thought it was a good hire. I mean, of course, my concern always is that first-year head coach thing, right? I mean, you know, we just went through some of that. I think Lebby obviously a lot more prepared for the job than Zach Arnett was, and that's not being critical of Zach. I'll always be grateful to Zach Arnett for stepping up in our time of need and doing the best he could. It just didn't work out. But Jeff Lebby, much different scenario. Much different scenario. And goodness, you think about Zach Arnett. I mean, goodness, he was just a few years removed from being Rocky Long's just kind of DC in waiting. The next thing you know, he's a head coach in the Southeastern Conference. And so I read some things out there sometimes where people are overly critical of Zach. And again, Zach took on a job that he didn't ask for. You know, we went to him. This is a lot more normal. And that was one of the things that I said when I first talked to Jeff Lebby. I said, after what this roster and this program and this fan base has gone through in the last few years, what we need is just a normal year of football. You know, I think about these young men and their families, you know, right? You know, Sam Westmoreland, of course, we lose him to a tragic end. I remember talking to Mason Miller when all that happened and how devastated he was. How devastated our team was. How devastated the young men in that offensive line room were. You go out there and you play a game, and you know there's his initials out there on the field, and I'm so glad we did that. It's a very minor gesture, but you know it's the least we could do to honor Sam. And then, of course, we lose Coach Leach. It's well documented. You promote Zach Arnett just to have some sense of continuity, and of course that didn't work out. He gets fired, and everybody's assistant coaches, with the exception of David Turner and Chad Bumpus, get fired too. And so we've had a tremendous amount of upheaval. And it's not just something germane to Mississippi State, but when you have a program that lacks continuity, and some of this isn't anybody's fault, it's just the hand that we're dealt. We need a normal year of football. We need to just go out there and play football. Win some games, lose some games, recruit some good players, and not have a lot of this off-the-field stuff. And again, it's really nobody's fault. It's just life-on-life term stuff. And I remember talking to Mason Miller after I was trying to get out and confirm that Jeff Lebby was going to be the guy. And ultimately, we were able to break that story at jeanspage.com. You may have forgotten that. We broke the story that Jeff Lebby got to hire. A lot of that's just working good sources. But I remember when you're calling Mason and talking to him, and of course he had heard some of the same things, and then of course I was able to get it confirmed. But Mason told me, he said, you know, Steve, I'm just so happy for those kids. And I said, well, tell me why that is. And he said, because Jeff Lebby is an incredible human being. And he said, Jeff will know how to love those kids in the right way. And that's what I think this football program needs. We got toughness. We got talent. But sometimes you need somebody to kind of love you enough to tell you the truth, you know, and to kind of love you and kind of lovingly guide you down the path. Because I think in many respects, we've kind of been standing still. We've kind of been standing still, and I hate to say it this way, but I don't know that we would have been able to recover from the loss of Coach Leach without another coaching change. And maybe that's not fair to Zach Arnett, but I think in many respects, it was a constant reminder of kind of what we lost. And I think now we can move forward. Then Jeff Lebby, of course, tremendous amount of respect for Coach Leach. Runs some of the same concepts. A more modernized version of the Leach offense. Much bigger running component. But based on my early observations through spring, my interactions with Lebby during the summer, and of course, early on here in the preseason camp, I truly believe he was the right guy. I truly do. And there were a lot of people in the beginning, it's like, hey, I don't want him. He worked at Ole Miss. Well, you know, a lot of guys worked at Ole Miss, you know. A bunch of guys did, you know. We even got some other assistants that worked at Ole Miss, you know. And I think it's important to understand that, you know, everybody needs a job. You know, just because they worked at Ole Miss doesn't mean that they're Ole Miss Rebels, right? And so I think because of the fact that Jeff knows how they operate and what that game means, he's been on the other side of it. He understands how important the Egg Bowl is. I mean, you know, they're going to go out and do a good job. They understand the expectations. It's not like that, you know, Jeff Lebby needs somebody to sit him down and give him a doctoral thesis on the history of the battle for the Golden Egg. But it's so much more than that. It's so much more than a game or a season. It's just time for us to move forward as a program and, again, have some normalcy. Our time for today's Top 10 List is always brought to you by closewithblair.com. That's C-L-O-S-E with Blair, B-L-A-I-R.com. Blair Chandler is my friend, your friend, our collective friend in the mortgage industry. I love Blair, too. He's my buddy. And he's one of those kinds of people, if he called me in the middle of the night and said, hey, man, I need some help, I'd get in the car and go. I'd just go stop at the truck stop and get me a cup of coffee. We'd figure it out, right? Well, when you're in need, Blair is a name and number you can call on. Let me give you his number. It's 601-500-2344. Again, 601-500-2344. If you're looking to buy a home or a game day condo and you don't know how to go about that, right, reach out to Blair. He can help you navigate through it. And could probably structure a loan that makes things a little more affordable than you think. This guy's been doing it 23 years. Back-to-back-to-back, top 1% close ratio in the country. You say, you know what, Steve, I need a five-star guy. Well, this is your five-star guy. Yeah, it's true. And you don't have to recruit him. You just hit him up on his text or his cell. That's his number directly. You don't have to go through a call center or through a receptionist. It's directly to Blair. And say, Blair, here's the situation. I need to refi. I need to pay off some debt. I need to buy that game day condo. Or you know what? We're getting married soon. We want to put some roots in the ground. We don't know how to go about this process. You know, take stress out of your life instead of trying to go figure out, well, who should I talk to? I'm telling you now, it's Blair Chandler at closewithblair.com. Be sure and check him out. You'll be glad you did. All right, top 10. We hadn't done this band, and Roy and I have a side bet. I'm going to let Roy pick the list on Monday. And he thinks that his list on Monday will get more views and impressions than my list today. Now, I wasn't a huge fan of this band. And when I say that, I never bought any of their albums. My bride did. She absolutely loves Supertramp. And Supertramp started out as kind of a progressive rock band. And they kind of softened the sound a little bit and shortened the songs, made it a little radio friendly. And they dropped an iconic album in many respects called Breakfast in America and had a string of top 10 hits. They came out with another album just like that one, pretty much, kind of maintained. Then they started to experiment a little bit, began to lose their fan base. That's kind of what happens too. It's amazing. Like everybody reaches a certain level. Like not everybody can be AC/DC, right? I mean, AC/DC's had the same writing formula since the beginning. They just keep cranking out the same stuff, you know. And it all sounds very similar, but we love it. Well, Supertramp and some other bands out there, it's like they achieve a certain level of success. I think it kind of goes to their head like, hey, I've always wanted to do a polka album. You know, they're like, oh, our fans will stick with us. Our fans are loyal. And you put that trash out there, and you're like, what is this? Supertramp went through some of that. But they released an album as late as 2002. And one thing you may not know, even though they sound very American, as you know it, British band. How about that? Yeah. So here's the top 10 Supertramp songs. Now, I would suspect you know the top 7 really well, and maybe you don't know that you know them. There's a lot of those songs out there that have been part of motion pictures and part of soundtracks, and you've heard it on the radio all these years, and you're like, I didn't know who sang that song, you know. But here we go. Number 10, back to the very beginning. Actually, it's the first song on the first album. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but it came out in 1974. It's an album called Crime of the Century. There is a great harmonica intro to this one on the song called School. And your good friend and host, years and years ago, about 20 years ago, I was on a big Aerosmith kick. And we're going to do some Aerosmith stuff next week. You may have heard they've called it quits, man. Not going to tour anymore. They canceled the remaining dates on their final tour, hanging it up. But I was like, you know what? I think I might be able to play that on harmonica. So I kind of taught myself how to play, bought books and things like that, and tabs, and taught myself how to play harmonica. I haven't played in forever. But there was a stretch there that that was my goal. And one of the songs that really inspired me, I really wanted to play, is the Ozark Mountain Daredevil song. If you want to get to heaven, you got to raise a little hell. I've never been able to master that. It's a great, great track. But the opening to this, School from Supertramp, that's something your good friend and host can pull off. And it's a cool song, too. A little different, but it's cool. The number 9, we talked about some experimentation. That's what happened here. This song actually went number 1 on the U.S. dance charts, and it sounds unlike anything else in the catalog. And then people just, you know, while it was number 1, there were a lot of people who were like, you know, this is not the Supertramp that I know. And so the album kind of tanked, but this song was really big. It's called I'm Begging You, and it is very, very different than everything else on our list. And you're not going to believe it, but again, it was number 1. Number 8, another top 40 track for them, a little bit later in the catalog. Maybe you're familiar with it. I don't know. It's not the it's not from the movie, but it's a track called Cannonball, and it's awfully interesting as well. Maybe you know it, maybe you don't. But that's your number 8 track, Cannonball. And you know, what's fun about that too, that's on the Brother Where You Bound album, which came out as the follow-up to Breakfast in America. Good album. Speaking of Breakfast in America, the title track is number 7, Breakfast in America. You've heard it a million times. You may not even know the name of the song or even who sang it. You love it. You know, Take a Look at My Girlfriend. She's the Only One I Got. That's Breakfast in America. Number 6, Back to the Beginning, Crime of the Century. Great track called Dreamer. This is one of those songs like the fans just kind of demand to hear it, so they continue to play it. And it's been remastered a few times. It's on live albums. They had a live version of this. It was a huge hit for them. Again, maybe not. It's more of a deeper track, I guess, in some respects now, you know, because they got a little deeper into the experimentation of their musicianship. Kind of moved away from it, but the fans were like, hey, it's not on a set list. I want that song back. So it's a staple. Now, the next 5 songs, I think everybody will know these songs. You may disagree with the order, and that's okay. It's perfectly okay. Number 5, great track and a great sentiment about life. It's Take the Long Way Home. Right? How many times have you been through that too? Like, let's just get out and kind of enjoy a drive, just be together. There's nothing in the world better than being together. Now, some people would say nothing better than being alone. I'm just not built that way. You know, it's like, you know, Dana runs a spa, just about all day, every day. And I'm at home taking care of the dogs and taking care of you guys and writing and trying to provide information as best I can. And, yeah, we get a chance to go somewhere. I'm in no hurry to get back. And I remember some time we go out and shoot pool or whatever, and we'll be riding home, and she's like, hey, just keep going. Let's just ride to Wynonna and turn around and come back. You know, I'm just enjoying the night drive, putting on some music. Great, great song, and again, kind of a great message. Number 4, and this is so funny. I laugh at this all the time. I had her do it a little while ago. But Goodbye Stranger is number 4. And it's so funny when we were talking, but Dana loves this Breakfast in America album. She said she absolutely wore that cassette out when she was in high school. And maybe she did. I didn't, because I was listening to things a little harder edge. But she goes, you know the song Goodbye Stranger, and she will sing the falsetto part in kind of a silly voice. I wish she was here. I'd have her sing it for you. But it's a big, big song. Goodbye Stranger. It was a huge hit for those guys. Number 3. Another one that it just seems like this, when this song was out, it's like it was everywhere, absolutely everywhere. And it's kind of apropos right now in Starkville because it's raining again. Number 3, it's raining again. Love the track again. It was everywhere on the radio when it was out. Number two, a song that has been made famous for a new generation because the Goo Goo Dolls did a really good cover of the song. I don't know that I would say it's better than the original, but it's really close. They really, really, really kind of added some Goo Goo-ness to it, but it is very much true to the original, and they were probably the best band to do it. It's Give a Little Bit. And you know the song. I mean, it's everybody that has grown up in my generation knows the song. You may not know exactly who sang it, context behind it. It is an amazing song. And number one, though, a song that is really timely in many respects, kind of goes along with my earlier rant. It's a great track, again, off Breakfast from in America, but it's the Logical song. Top 10 hit in multiple countries. It's just one of those deals, man, that you read the story behind it. You know, Roger Hodgson was sent away and kind of grew up away from his family and that sort of stuff. And there's some teen angst in it. But there is some poetry in these lyrics. And I love the sax. Like, we did the little sax solo thing the other day. And I had a few people, like, somebody hit me up and said, hey, Thief would like a word. I don't remember who sent me that. Of course, that was the Elijah McNamee track. That really wasn't what I was looking for, but I have to give at least an honorable mention to that song. But the Logical song, again, there's some lyrics in here that it's just absolutely amazing. And so, so here's the part that I think is interesting. Well, there's a lot that's interesting, but he puts in it, there are times when all the world's asleep, the questions run too deep for such a simple man. Won't you please tell me what we've learned? I know it sounds absurd, but please tell me who I am. Incredible. I said, now, watch what you say. They'll be calling you a radical, a liberal, a fanatical, criminal. Oh, won't you sign up your name? We'd like to feel you're acceptable, respectable, oh, presentable, a vegetable. Oh, take it, yeah. And again, it's so incredible how that song, written low so many years ago, are still appropriate today. It's true. And it doesn't matter your political affiliations, right? There are a lot of people out there, no matter how you feel, what you do, no matter what a good person you are, somebody's like, hey, you don't believe like me, you're my enemy. And that's just not true. Yeah, I'm a friend of the world. I try to be. There are things that really irritate me. But I think the Logical song, again, very timely. And a lot of people probably haven't listened to this song in forever and a day. But as we get closer and closer to Decision 2024, this song is probably going to resonate a lot more with people. Those of you that know the song. It's just one of those songs that it's very authentic in its origin. And it really kind of resonates with people because we find some commonality in a lot of what they say. But it's an absolutely incredible band, incredible song. And again, very radio rock friendly for a stretch there, and they kind of lost their way and tried to get it back. And then the window closed. It happens a lot. At some point, we all age out, especially bands, as things begin to change. And then if you begin to kind of mimic the current trends, then your core fan base will abandon you. We saw that a lot, you know, in the 80s and the early 90s. And, you know, I could talk extensively about, you know, the 15 minutes when grunge was popular, and I was a grunge fan. But you look back in hindsight, I mean, outside of Pearl Jam, there's really none of those bands still around. And I don't just mean those that, you know, came to a tragic end. You know, Alice in Chains, of course, and Jerry, those guys still out doing some big things. And, you know, two-fourths of the original members are gone, including Layne Staley, who I think is one of the greatest vocalists of my lifetime. But there's just not a lot of bands, and I don't know that it was fair to put the grunge label on Alice in Chains. People forget they were already an established band when the grunge movement. I think some people tried to kind of hitch their wagon to that because, you know, they were from Seattle and played drop D tuning. But Alice in Chains, to me, is just kind of undefinable. They're just one of those bands that... I think a lot of people said, hey, well, they must all be friends. And that really wasn't the case. But if you look today, I mean, you know, a lot of bands from the 80s have reunited, or at least some facsimile of such. And you know, playing the casino circuit and, you know, selling out shows. And, you know, because people like myself, you know, we're all empty nesters now. So, you know, we can turn out and go enjoy a little rock and roll, and people can go, you know, book a room at the casino and have a nice dinner, go to a show, feel like a kid again, maybe win a few bucks and go to bed. You know, it's a great arrangement. It is. But there's really not a lot of those early 90s bands out. And I'll tell you one of the reasons why is because the music just didn't hold up. And a lot of people don't want to accept that. It's true, but they don't want to accept it. Like, oh, no, that was the greatest time of music, and it really wasn't. It really, really wasn't. And it's like you see the, it makes the rounds every once in a while. You're like, hey, all the six of these albums were released within like 2 weeks of each other. Greatest time of music, and like there's hardly anything similar between those except for when they were released. You know, Metallica's Black Album was part of that. And I recently saw a really, 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 really disappointing video when Metallica was playing after Kurt Cobain had died, had killed himself. And they had a very, very off-color, kind of a disgusting joke about Kurt Cobain. And Pearl Jam and Nirvana hated each other. You know, Red Hot Chili Peppers had nothing to do with Seattle. You know, I mean, why don't we work Madonna in there too, right? And so it's like everybody's like, oh, it's, no. It just, there's a revisionist history, and I probably spend way too much time commenting on this stuff online. But I don't know what kind of job you can get with a BS degree in revisionist history, but there are a lot of people out there that appear to have them. If you have an idea for the top 10 list, reach out, let us know. You never know, we may just use it. And again, Roy is going to be responsible for the list on Monday. So I don't want to tip the scales here, put my thumb on the scale, but if you like my list today, maybe give us a like, give us a retweet. If you like Roy's list better on Monday, and I guarantee you it's probably an artist you've never heard of, he thinks that his artist is going to get more views. And listen, I know how competitive Roy is. He may not be as honorable as me when it comes to this contest. I want you to do it straight up, though. If you like my list better, then like the tweet. Maybe follow the list on Spotify. Give us an impression, right? If you like Roy's better, then do that. I don't think you will. But I'm going to go into it open-minded. It'll be a nice experiment. And because I'm going to tell you something, man. Listen, I love some old obscure 80s metal. Like, I love the Sea Hags and Vane and people like that. I love those bands. And most of you have never heard of them. It doesn't make me like them any less. But at times, I kind of lived in that bubble. And like Roy, you know, Roy likes some things that are a little different than me. And I respect the fact that our differences are okay. But I don't know anything about this artist that he's pushing on us on Monday. He wanted to do it today. And I'm like, nah, we're doing Supertramp. Because I'll bet you that my list on Monday gets more impressions than Supertramp. And you know, maybe I'll be surprised, but hopefully Roy will just play it straight up. Play it straight up. Let me know what you think. DMs are always open. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. We love Campus Bookmart, and you know why, kids? Because we can get all the Mississippi State stuff our heart desires right there at a Starkville business. I always encourage you to shop local wherever you live and work, but Starkville needs your support. So if you live in the greater Starkville area, or you frequent the greater Starkville area, and you know you do, or perhaps you live out there in the mission field, you know, somewhere across the state lines of Mississippi, and you say, you know what? I love Starkville. So I'm going to support a Starkville business when I get my Mississippi State merchandise. I'm not going to go to Amazon and support some big company out there that may send me a crimson-colored Mississippi State shirt. I'm going to spend my money at a Starkville business that knows what true maroon looks like. And not only do they supply you with the greatest Mississippi State merchandise, they ride the wave with you, right? They're Bulldogs too. They know what you're looking for, whether it be an anniversary gift, a wedding gift, a birthday gift, or just a gift for whatever reason. You know, maybe it's because I love you gift. Maybe it's, hey, honey, football season's about to kick off. I want you to have some new Mississippi State gear. Hint, hint, hint. Campus Bookmart's the way to go. If you can't make it to town to see their wonderful smiling faces, visit them on the World Wide Web at campusbookmart.net. And by being a loyal Boneyard listener, we'll give you a phrase that pays. That is BSR, which stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. That gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than $75, absolutely incomplete. All right, so we continue our opponent previews, and this is a difficult stretch in the Mississippi State schedule. Now, we do get the first weekend in October off as an open date, and then our reward for that is going to Athens, Georgia. And you know what's so crazy about that? I'm going to pull this up, too. You know, it's like we never played those guys for years and years and years, and it seems like we play them like every other week nowadays. It's nuts. And this is a rivalry, obviously, that dates back many years. But we only played 26 times in our history against Georgia. Did you know that? And one of the things that you will learn when you read The Dude, and you can order at dudenoble.com, is Mississippi State was the first team to ever win at Sanford Field. Did you know that? I bet you didn't. It's a true story. But, man, we played them. We played at 17, 2020, 2022, and now 2024. And so, yeah, it's been every other year. But you start looking at that, and it's like, wow, you know, pretty nuts. And the last win, of course, was Dan Mullen. Beat him in Stark Vegas when Nico Whitley separated with Sean Ely from the football right there at the goal line. Him and Jonathan Banks making a big play there. We don't win that game 24-12. Arcedo Clark's finest moment. For those of you that were attendance, it's hard to believe it's been 14 years ago, but it has been. That was our last win, and that was our first win against Georgia since 1974. Now, granted, we didn't play them every year, but they had a pretty good stretch there, you know, when they got the better of us. But it's pretty nuts when you think about it. We won three of the first four, but since that time, we've only won three. In 1956, Mississippi State won 19-7 in Athens, Georgia. And again, that's the third win in four tries against those guys. And we've won three since 1959 against them. Again, just 26 times that we faced them. But it is not a series that has favored the Bulldogs. And certainly here we are playing them on a regular basis when they're arguably going through the greatest stretch in school history. And I still go back to that 2020 game, one of Will Rogers' best games, an opportunity for us to win that game. We probably should have won it. We took 47 players over there and played against Georgia in Athens and nearly shocked the world. But this Georgia team is legit. As you guys know, you don't need me to tell you. Kirby's got the guys, you know, playing really good football. And the thing that I think about, too, is like, you know, the talent level just seems to get better and better and better. And I remember Kirby's first year, I think they went 7-5, and people were like, ah, it's not going to work out. Next thing you know, he's playing for a NAFL championship. This Georgia team is going to be favored by a lot of people to win it again, as they should. You know, it's like, guys, Kirby Smart's been there 8 years, and he's lost 16 games. Let that sink in for a second. He's lost 16 games as the head coach at the University of Georgia. And of those 16 losses, five, they went 8-5. They went 7-5 and won Liberty Bowl. Five of those 16 losses came in year one. Yeah, so you can kind of do the math on that yourself. You start running through here. He's 56-9 in SEC play. Four of those losses came in year one, back in 16. They have not lost an SEC game since 2020. Went 8-2 that year. 8-0, 8-0, 8-0. Three consecutive years. So, very impressive. 14-1, 15-0, 13-1. Absolutely incredible run by the Georgia Bulldogs, the program they always thought they should have, and now they have it. And now, of course, we got to play them with greater regularity, right? It's just like, oh, we don't have to play Alabama, LSU, and Auburn, Texas A&M every year? Great. Okay, well, here's Georgia and Florida, you know. And this is probably a good time to get Florida, but not so much for Georgia. And it's a great trip if you've ever been to Athens. I encourage you maybe go a little bit early so you can kind of tour the campus. It is an absolutely picturesque campus, absolutely beautiful campus, one of the best in the Southeastern Conference. So I plan to make that trip. A lot of cool trips this year for Mississippi State. You know, we go to Austin, Texas, of course, and go out to Arizona State in Tempe. That'll be a lot of fun. But, you know, looking back at last year, this Georgia team just steamrolling through people. It'd be nice to get a win over those guys. But, man, you're asking way too much. They go 13-1 last year. And I remember early on, some people were like, well, you know, it's same old Georgia. You know, they take care of UT Martin 48-7. They beat Ball State 45-3. And then they struggled with South Carolina. They really did. They struggled with South Carolina. And a lot of people were like, well, you know what? Maybe Georgia's not invincible after all. And that was South Carolina team was 1-1 coming in. And it took Georgia to put up 21 points in the second half to win the game. South Carolina had a 14-3 lead at the break, and then it was all Bulldogs down the stretch, and people are like, well, these guys are vulnerable. Well, they get UAB 49-21, and then they get Auburn at Auburn, a game that the Tigers should have won, and I think everybody will tag it the same. Again, it took a late comeback. It's tied at 10 at the break. It's a 17-17 game, and then Georgia outlasts them and wins 27-20. Guys, it was a tie ball game with 3 minutes to go. And that wasn't a great Auburn team. But Auburn people will tell you they should have won the football game. They got right the next week, though. They hosted Kentucky, who was recently put on probation. And allow me the opportunity to kind of address some of that, too. A lot of people are asking me on Twitter and on the message boards, hey, with Kentucky having to vacate that win over Mike Leach, does that change the win percentage? Does that change the win-loss total? And it does not. It is not a forfeited game, so State doesn't gain a victory. It is a vacated victory for Kentucky. The game itself is not vacated, so we still absorb the loss. But, guys, Mike Leach is going to get in anyway. Mike Leach, with his innovation of the game, they will get Mike Leach in. It's going to happen. But, so back to our topic here. 51-13 winners over Kentucky, a Kentucky team that has been exceptionally overrated. And then you find out on top of that they were cheating. Cheaters. And then they're on 2 years of probation after a negotiated resolution. Georgia then goes to Vanderbilt, kind of a walkthrough game in Nashville. They win 37-20. And then they get Florida and Jacksonville, and they smash those guys again 43-20. They get Missouri. Good ball game here. You may have forgotten this game was in Sanford Stadium. And you look up at the half, it's a 10-10 game again. Now, Georgia wins the second half, but it was a game all the way down to the end. It took a couple late field goals from Georgia to put them away. It's a 27-21 game. And earlier in the fourth, it was a 24-21 game. So Missouri goes between the hedges and has it a one-score game into the fourth quarter. They get Ole Miss the next week, and they absolutely destroyed Ole Miss 52-17. You may have forgotten that. There was a lot of joy in Starkville with that game. The thing that I remember about that game is, just offensively, Georgia did what they wanted to do. They ran for 300 yards in the game and then threw for 311. So a total of 611 yards offense. And there were a lot of people in the college football media that were picking Ole Miss to upset Georgia. There was nothing about that game that was close. Nothing. When you run for 300 yards, and then you begin to think about that, it's a very, very balanced day. 611 yards of offense. Brutal. They go to Knoxville. They take care of Tennessee 38-10. They get Georgia Tech, which proved to be a better game than people anticipated. You know, Dean Legge used to cover Georgia for us years ago over at Scout. Used to always talk about, yeah, well, they're still Georgia Tech. You know, and he's like, well, you know, Georgia Tech's pretty good. Yeah, but they're still Georgia Tech. And so a lot of disdain for Georgia Tech among Georgia fans, but they put up 31 points in three quarters and just kind of coast. And Georgia Tech adds 10 in the fourth quarter to make the game look a little more respectable. But It was a 10-7 game after one with the Ramblin' Wreck having the lead. And Georgia takes care of business. And so you finish up the year there and you think, hey, you know, things are great. Things are great. We're good. We got a chance to go do something special again. And they did. And then they lose to Alabama in the SEC championship game. And how many people said, you know what? This thing is done, right? This thing is done. It wasn't. Nick Saban pulls one more out of the hat. A lot of people expected Georgia to just, you know, get run all over Alabama. Wasn't the case. Georgia actually scored 14 points in the fourth quarter to kind of make it a game. But guys, it was a 17-7 game at the break. And then a 20-10 game at the end of third quarter. And Alabama did just enough. You know, Georgia scores late, and it's a two-score game in the final minutes. And Georgia scored to kind of give themselves a chance. But Bulldogs lose. And then, of course, they absolutely crush Florida State in the Orange Bowl. Absolutely crushed them, 63-3. And you remember, there were so many players from Florida State that opted out of that game because they didn't make the playoffs. It was 42-3 at the break. Absolutely brutal football game. And you felt bad for Florida State. I mean, you know, a lot of people could make a case they should make the playoff. They didn't. Guys, they only had 11 first downs in this game against Georgia. One of those by way of penalty. So you only earned 10 first downs in the ball game. They rush for a grand total of 89 yards. That's it. Excuse me. The net was just 63. Georgia runs for 372. Florida State just 63 yards. Total offense for the Seminoles in the game, 209. And they didn't have a quarterback. And Georgia puts up 673 yards of real estate. Absolutely impressive. And, again, this is a Georgia team. A lot of people were expecting big things from it, rightfully so. I mean, how could you pick against them? I mean, honestly, I mean, just look at recent history and returning roster, and they add ATN. I mean, it's just – there's a lot to like about this Georgia team. They averaged just over 40 points a game and just gave up 15 and change. The Georgia defense only allowed 219 points last year. Crazy. And that's been the calling card for Georgia. Elite defense and good offense. I mean, last year they had some games they were elite, but defensively they have been one of the better teams in the country. Pretty nuts when you think about it. Talking about total offense, you know, pretty crazy stuff for total offense. You know, working through all this. Averaged right at 497 yards a game, allowed 290, 289.1 to be specific. They outgained their opponents by nearly 3,000 yards. It's brutal, man. Scored 71 touchdowns, allowed 26. I mean, just a dominant force. And we got to go over there and play those guys. Got to figure some things out. Certainly. And again, you know, you look, you know, they do this thing kind of with a two-headed monster on the ground. Last year it was Dejon Edwards and Kendall Milton, 881 and 790 respectively. But then once they get a lead, they put those young backs in and let them get some, you know, get some carries in. I mean, they had four reserve running backs have 22 or more carries last year. And so you're saving some wear and tear on those guys. Pretty impressive. And then Carson Beck, of course, you know, absolutely legit in every aspect. Played 14 games last year, 302, 417 attempts, 72.42%, and threw 24 touchdowns against just six picks. 59 yards short of throwing for 4,000 yards in the modern-day Southeastern Conference with a team that likes to run the football. Everything opens up after that. It's brutal. Brock Bowers, of course, thank God he's in the NFL, but man, what a great player he was and proved to be on a college level. Mackey Award winner. And he just played 10 games last year. And 56 balls led them in receiving, 715 yards. And that's one of those things, too, it's kind of a tenet of a team that likes to run the football. is they utilize a tight end in the passing game. And when you have arguably one of the most athletic tight ends in a generation, you certainly want to put the football in his hands. Ladd McConkey, another guy too, banged up a little bit last year, but man, that kid was so good. Ra-Ra Thomas was part of that too. 11 games played, 23 catches, 383 yards, and a touchdown. And Ra-Ra no longer part of the Georgia football program. And you know what? I don't think Kirby Smart really had a decision to make. I don't think there's any question. And, you know, Ra-Ra, of course, was part of our family. And I said back then that I thought, him leaving and going to Georgia may not be a great thing for him. And he gets over there and has the issue with the hotel room. And there's a disturbance. And then these recent charges that have come out are very, 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 very concerning. And a lot of people have said, well, now what will he do? I guess he'll transfer to Ole Miss now. I know that's probably a joke, but the SEC really kind of frowns upon domestic violence, as they should. And, you know, there's been some guys in recent years that have had some DV-type issues and tried to transfer within the league, and those transfers have been blocked. And so I think that you'll see Greg Sankey in the league probably say, you know what, he can't transfer within the league. And I don't know what happens to him next. I hope this young man gets his life together. I know my interactions with Ra-Ra as a recruit, and of course that happened very late. You know, Steve Spurrier was able to kind of flip him away from South Carolina. And when he was here, he was he's a lot of fun to cover. And then he leaves the Mississippi State bubble and goes to Georgia. And listen, Georgia has had a ton of off-the-field issues. And so I'm not going to sit in judgment of the University of Georgia, but I'll tell you this, that when you have this many issues that involve the legal system, you know, you probably got to take a step back and kind of question a little bit about what you're doing. And you can always say, you know what, hey, Steve, that's the price of championships. And maybe that price is too steep to pay when you have people getting killed, you have people getting injured, and now you have children that are being injured. And that's the thing, too, when you look at the backdrop, everything that's happened to Georgia, you know, again, I don't think Kirby Smart had a decision to make. And, of course, they're going to let the legal process play out, and they're going to see what the evidence was. And apparently they got the green light to suggest that there was some merit to these charges, and they have made this decision and kind of moved on. But, yeah, it's going to be a tough ball game for Mississippi State. I think we can go down there and score a little bit, but, you know, being able to protect the passer is going to be a real challenge for us. I'm eager to see what Jeff Lebby will dial up, though, against a quality opponent like Georgia. And, of course, you'll have 2 weeks to get ready. And you may need that extra week to kind of heal up. I mean, after a pretty difficult stretch there for State, again, you know, we talk about we open with Eastern Kentucky, should be a dub. And I think Arizona State may be the most important game on our schedule. And you say, Steve, what do you mean? Well, number one, you win that game and you're 2-0 and you got Toledo coming in. And again, Toledo's no joke. You got a really good chance of being 3-0 when Florida comes to town. And again, there's not a lot of margin for error for Mississippi State this year to get bowl eligible. You're going to need that Arizona State game. Are you going to be able to win 3 SEC games this year? And that sounds like a modest goal. But yeah, in year one, based on what we know right now, I don't know that we could say that. Right? I don't know if we could say, you know what, hey, that we're certain to win 3. Especially with Texas and Georgia, road trips to those two schools. I mean, we're already penciling those games in as a loss. And I hate that, right? I hate it when a schedule comes out and we already say, okay, well, that's a loss. I love it when we feel like we have a chance to win every game. And it can kind of back to our first segment of the show. I think Jeff Lebby is going to put us in a position where we feel that way. Not this year. You know, got to get some more guys in, you know. You got to go out there and kind of show what you can do. You got to show this offense is going to be dynamic. You got to go out there and make people realize that, hey, Jeff Lebby knows what he's doing. And even though he's the head coach, you know, his brand of offense comes with him. And so, you know, we're going to have to find a way to pick up some things here and there. And but I mentioned this yesterday when I was on campus talking to some staffers. And I was talking about how important I thought this Arizona State game. And they agreed. Yeah, it's going to be on television. Obviously, it'll be a late night game, but you win that game, and especially if you look good doing it, you come home and beat Toledo. You're 3-0 with Florida coming to town. You find a way to beat Florida, and again, I expect us to win that game. When we go to Texas, it may be a top 25 game. Seriously. You start thinking about that, especially if you do it with some style points. You know, offensively, things are kind of clicking for us a little bit. I think there's some people out there who say, you know what, hey, Mississippi State's 4-0, and even though expectations for probably everybody on our schedule other than Toledo, Toledo's supposed to be really good in their league, picked second in the league. But if you're 4-0 going to Texas, you may be number 24 or 25 in the country. And then, of course, you get Texas, so you probably drop that game, and then get Georgia, so you'll drop out for a while. And then A&M comes in. I'm not sure what to expect from them. Arkansas comes in, and we're going to get that game. I believe that. UMass, and then a trip to Knoxville. And then Missouri comes in, and it's a trip to Oxford. You know, and so, again, it's a brutal schedule for Mississippi State. And so we can ill afford to lose a game that we're expected to win. And I think that's why the Arizona State game is just such a swing game. If I had to call it today, I think it's a 6-6 year. But in the back of my mind, I think that Jeff's going to upset somebody. There's going to be somebody that comes in here that Jeff has kind of found out something offensively that we can exploit against their defense. And I think there's going to be somebody that he hits kind of unsuspecting and knocks him out. And so I think 7-5 is the ceiling. But in order for us to get 6-6, if I had to pick it today, I think you win the 4 non-conference games, you beat Florida, you beat Arkansas. You beat anybody else, it's a bonus. You find a way to beat A&M, you're 7-5. You know. But again, you think about these road trips in the SEC. 2 Texas, 2 Georgia, 2 Tennessee, and 2 Ole Miss, who's going to have arguably one of their best teams in recent memory. And you never know in those games. You just simply never know. You never know what's going to happen. Well, there's been some times we've been the much better team and come home with a loss, right? And there have been times that they've come down here expecting to run all over us, and they leave without the egg. And so you never know what's going to happen in a rivalry game, but you simply can't count on that this year with Ole Miss, with what they have. They're a veteran team, and they've put a lot of guys in the portal onto their roster and really invested in this season. And so I don't think you can count it. And by the time we play that game, I'll have convinced myself that we're going to beat them 50-0. But as we sit here today, I simply don't feel that way. All right, last segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. If you're bringing a large group of people to Starkville or to the Golden Triangle, whether it be for work or for pleasure, maybe you're coming up and saying, hey, you know, we're going to be going to Mississippi State this year. Want to get a feel for the town. Bring our kids up or whatever. You know, maybe you got some college-bound kids, and it's getting a little bit late because the classes start in 3 weeks. You begin to kind of work through that. You begin to say, hey, you know, let's go up there and spend some time. Get to know those fine restaurants in Starkville, certainly Bulldog Burger and Harvey's and The Grill, Sweet Peppers Deli. You know, there's a lot of great places we can eat here in Starkville. We're very fortunate, too. But nevertheless, maybe it's a couples weekend. Maybe it's a college reunion weekend. 5 bedrooms, 2 baths, Stark Vegas Clubhouse is for you. Maybe it's a work group you're bringing in during the week. Maybe you're bringing a team in up here and you get to work at the university or work in the region. Rather than go out there and get 5 hotel rooms, get the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Make it a really cool experience. It's already a work trip. Let's don't make it feel like a work trip. Let's get a place that's got some common areas that we can work and we can break bread together, and then we can retreat to our own private quarters in the evening. 5 bedrooms, 2 baths, that great back porch area, the fire pit area, just 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus. Full service kitchen, got a wet bar. What else more could you want, right? And so instead of you having to go sit in some hotel lobby and lounge and have all these strangers kind of interloping on your conversation, you can have a meaningful conversation out there around the fire pit at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Now, when you Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, your Facebook page is going to come up, and you can peruse the pictures and see all the amenities that are available to you. Also, you're going to get some booking options. Now, you can book through Airbnb and VRBO. That's up to you. But if you want to save some cash, I can help you with that. Book through the Evolve website with promo code BSR10. That's BSR10. Get you 10% off your stay just by listening to the show. How about that? Saving you money just by listening to the free Boneyard. All right, let's talk a little bit about what happened. We did not get the baseball result we wanted, and so I got a little bit to tell you about that. The Travis Smith situation, here's what I was told. I got some friends that are MLB scouts. I've been doing this a long time, and of course we have some people that are connected to our program that are also involved in MLB scouting. And so we compare notes from time to time. And a lot of times I want to know how good a kid is. And in times like these, I kind of leaned on my sources a little bit just to kind of see what they were hearing a little bit. And the Travis Smith situation, I was told that, you know, the day that he got drafted, that they called him and said, hey, are you willing to sign for X $100,000? And they were like, yeah, if you can get that number, then we'll get there. Well, and then all this craziness happens, right? Then all of a sudden, it looked like they weren't going to be able to have the money. Chris Lavonis, the prep pitcher from New Jersey, I'm told that he was offered the remaining bonus pool, which was nearly $4 million, and he turned it down and went to Wake Forest. Now, I don't know that young man's situation. And even if it was my own child, if Ani Robertson had signed with Mississippi State and a Major League Baseball team was willing to pay him $4 million, as much as I love all of you and I love Mississippi State baseball, I love him even more. And I would have to say, you know what, son, we can't run the risk of potential injury or something like that happening. This is a sure thing. We've got a check in front of us right now. We have to sign a contract. They're going to hand us a check for nearly $4 million. We're going to take it. And that, in many respects, could be generational wealth for his family. And so I don't know the background of Chris Lavonis, but the fact that he passed on that money in favor of going to Wake, I think it's a great thing for Wake Forest, but it ended up being a very negative thing for Mississippi State. Because of the fact Lavonis didn't sign, that freed up some money that they were prepared to pay him over slot that enabled them to sign Travis Smith and some others. And so Travis Smith, of course, the threshold of his slot pick was $150,000. They end up paying him, you know, over $400,000, nearly $500,000. So some of that money counts against the bonus pool. And so, again, it's just like the Ryan Prager situation with Dave Marchand. You ended up having, I guess, three guys in the top 10 that didn't sign. It's about a 1% ratio, right? 99% of the guys drafted in the top 10 signed. I think last year there was only one player. This year there was three. Maybe four, now that I think about it. But nevertheless, I think it's three. And two of the three directly impacted Mississippi State. Ryan Prager, a draft-eligible sophomore pitcher from Texas A&M, doesn't go. So not only does he come back to our league, so we got to deal with him, right? But because of the fact he didn't sign, that enabled the California or Los Angeles Angels to have another $305,000 to work with to kind of sweeten the deal for Dave Marchand. And so I actually knew the night before that he was going to sign. But it's not my news to break in that situation. And some people may disagree, but I got a relationship with Dave Marchand, right? And so even though Dave Marchand may never be back except for baseball functions and that kind of stuff in the future when he's an alum and we trot him out there, let him throw the first pitch, when I give my word to people, I keep it. All right, I do my very best to try. And in a situation like that, it wasn't me withholding bad news from all of you, but I was going to let a young man have his own moment. And, of course, somebody in the Angels media ends up breaking that, and then we ran our story a few minutes after that. We certainly had it ready, but it's not the outcome we wanted. It's also not doom and gloom like some people have suggested. You know, Dylan Kopp is going to be back, and he is an outstanding shortstop, absolutely outstanding shortstop. And, again, I think the last seven games he was hitting .295. He was just beginning to come into his own when he injured his knee trying to make a play against Georgia in that first game of SEC play. I guess maybe it was at LSU. Anyway, I can't remember the weekend, but Dylan was really coming into his own. And how many times did you guys see, you know, Dylan make some incredibly difficult plays look very easy? And to take nothing away from Dave Marchand, both those guys, elite players, certainly. I think Cup's got a little more range. Some people may disagree with me, but he does. He's got a little more range. Dave's a little bit smaller guy. But Dave, we knew going into the season that Dave Marchand wanted to sign provided he got the right opportunity and the right payday. We knew that. And then it didn't look like he may not get that payday. Of course, when Prager elects to pass, well, then the payday comes for Dave Marchand. And people say, well, you know, he could have come back and boosted his stock. Guys, I think probably the ceiling for David was probably going to be around the fifth or sixth round next year. You know, about $500,000, maybe $600,000. And he's getting, what, $455,000, something like that now? You know, so you say, yeah, Steve, that's $100,000-some. It is. But you take the risk out of this deal. And this, again, this is a guy that went into the season as a draft-eligible sophomore thinking, hey, if I get drafted and they pay me enough, I'm going to sign. it wasn't something that, and we talked about on the show extensively, it wasn't a surprise, you know. It's a disappointment, but we wish Dave Marchand the best. And I texted him yesterday. And I said, hey, Dave, listen, wish you the best in your pro career and look forward to the days that we have to update the graphics at Duty Noble Field to reflect that we've added you to our line of big leaguers. You know, I'm very appreciative to everything Dave Marchand did for Mississippi State Baseball. He is from a fantastic family, and my interactions with all of them have been very, very positive. And it's the thing, too. You can see David's not the outlier. David just comes from a great group of folks, you know. And so I like to see good people win, even though it negatively impacts us a little bit for next year. You know, obviously we're a better ball club with Dave Marchand. But now we kind of move forward. And a lot of people are asking about it, you know, via RCAT, you know, a guy that's a potential first-round pick out of Washington. There was a lot of discussion about him following his coach to Texas A&M. I'm told that's not going to happen. And, yeah, State is in the mix with him. You know, State's in the mix with a couple players. You know, a lot of people think, well, the portal's empty. Well, it's really not. But there's some guys out there still kind of working through it. And I remind you, you know, we signed Cal Steven, or we got a commitment from Cal Steven last year on July 31st. I commend the staff on how they handled this thing with David Marchand. Because I think, hey, if it's easy to say, you know what, hey, you look at the numbers, Arquette's numbers better than Dave Marchand. And that's true. It is true. But Dave Marchand's our guy, right? And so if you openly go and, you know, you bring Arquette in before Marchand's made his decision, you're basically ushering David Marchand out the door. And so we'll see how things progress, you know. You know, I think a decision from Arquette's probably coming next week. And State is one of a handful of schools that are still recruiting them. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But, you know, we're going to have a good club. And I know it's so easy to get caught up, to be a prisoner of the moment. But here's the reality of it is, you know, 2 years ago, you didn't even know who Dave Marchand was. You didn't. You didn't know that Dave Marchand was going to come in here and be one of your favorite players because he's a dirtbag. You didn't know that. I remember the first time we put him out there. I mean, I asked Lamonis some postgame. You know, we had Marchand gets on the field at third base. And Lamonis said, I told the staff, if we ever let him on the field, you're never going to be able to take him off because once those people see him, they're going to fall in love with him. Dave Marchand was born to play baseball. He was. And I think there's so many of us because he played the game the right way. He played it wide open, whether it be a base runner, a defender, a hitter. He was always trying to find something to do to help his team win. And that's the appreciable quality about him that sometimes you wonder if you can replace. Oh, I can find a guy to play short. I can find a guy to hit two-hole. I can find a guy to get down a good bunt for us and maybe steal some bases. But when you think about the total package, the full skill set of Dave Marchand, it's difficult to replicate that. And maybe all of a sudden you get Ace Reese to be your base stealer. I mean, maybe you get Sawyer Reeves, who I interviewed again last night, that recently got married. You know, how cool is that? He and his wife are here settling in. And he'll start school here in about 3 weeks. But we're going to have a good club. And I feel, you know, we left Charlottesville, Virginia, and I'm driving back. The bulk of my conversation, other than the fact that Chris Lamonis had been mentioned in connection with the South Carolina head coaching job, much of my conversation was about we're going to have to hit the portal wide open because we got to reconstruct the lineup here. Because I'm just going to say it for what it is, because we have so much youth and inexperience with position players, thinking, hey, this is going to be a completely different team next year defensively and offensively, and we're going to have to hit some home runs in the portal. And so then, you know, find out, hey, Lamonis and them first day of the portal are already, you know, on the phone and setting up visits and getting guys in and kind of getting things lined up. And now we look back, you know, 2 months later, and you're like, hey, I'm kind of optimistic about this. And I can tell you the early reports about some of these guys that are already in town, already working out with your players, very positive. Very positive. Ball players want to win. Ball players love other ball players. You know, competitors love other competitors. You're like, hey, I want to win. This guy helps me win. Yeah, Reed Stallman's a dude. And listen, people are like, well, you know, Steve, he didn't hit for a lot of average. You know, he didn't strike out much either. He's putting the ball in play. You know, fine-tune some things here, fine-tune some things there, and he still had double-digit home runs last year with a wrist injury. It sidelined him for a bit, too. And so, and don't think that wasn't a factor in things. But understand, we got some dudes, and you may not know this, but Pico Cone turned down a lot of money to come back and play at Mississippi State. I had a chance to speak to Pico, too. And, you know, Pico's one of these guys that doesn't say a whole lot. And so when he says something, you know he means it. But he said, you know what? I know what I'm worth, and I'm not going to back down on that number. And in addition to that, too, I want to work with Justin Parker for another year. And you begin to think about that. You know, what you saw in postseason from Pico Cone is what we've been expecting all along. And people forget. You know, we lost Pico last year. They waited and waited and waited and waited and waited to make the decision, and the family made the right decision. But even when he came back, it took a little while to kind of get him back. And then what you saw him do down the stretch was absolutely outstanding. And one of the better baseball games you've seen pitched in recent years was Pico Cone against Virginia. Probably the only game last year that was pitched better than that, at least down the stretch, was Brooks Auger's game against Ole Miss and Hoover. And again, these are guys that were returning guys. These weren't transfers. These weren't guys that came in that already had, you know, a consistent body of work. You had Pico and Brooks both really coming back from injury. And so the two guys that probably, you know, there's some games that Nate and Cal had early in the year that was absolutely filthy. But you think about those guys in the postseason, those were returning players. They weren't transfers. They came in here, you know, hey, like, hey, I'll go put on a Mississippi State uniform. We'll go make some things happen. You know, those are guys that, number one, had to heal, but also had to embrace a new way of doing things. And now you begin to think about, well, what can Pico be with a full offseason? You know, that's one thing that Pico talked about before. Is like, you know, he kind of wondered, you know, hey, you know, Justin Parker gets here and I can't do all the things that they want me to do yet. I hadn't been cleared to do all those things. And so Pico sometimes didn't want to be the man left out. Now Pico has an opportunity next year. I don't want to get the cart before the horse, but don't be surprised if Pico Cone is not your day one starter. Lefty with a great changeup, good sink on the fastball, good run on the slider. One of the most competitive kids you'll ever be around, and you guys don't get to see it, right? I mean, because he is so quiet. But he'll be out there, like, telling guys to get in the box, you know, motioning them with his glove, get in the box, get in the box, let's go, let's go. He has a competitive streak in him that maybe is not always evident to those that are watching the game on television or even in person. But he's legit. I'm not worried about arms. And we all talked about that beginning of the process. We said, you know what, whoever Justin Parker gets, I am completely fine with. So we're not going to second guess that. But I think we all would feel a little more comfortable if we had one more bat. One more bat. And I know we're on some other guys. And so if we can get one more bat, because how many times last year did we have a guy struggle a little bit and you couldn't afford to sit him because you didn't have somebody better? Right? You didn't have a guy on the bench maybe that, you know, was ready for an opportunity that could provide you with a big hit. You just didn't have enough depth last year offensively. And so when guys struggled, you just had to hope they could work through it. And I think Hunter Hines really benefits from having, you know, Reed Stallman, you know, and Noah Sullivan. I think he really benefits from having some other guys out there, left-handed power hitters in the order. And if not just the fact that it makes the lineup longer, you know, there are a lot of those pitchers that are going to pitch Hunter Hines the same way they're going to pitch Noah Sullivan, the same way they're going to pitch Reed Stallman. You know, how many times last year, you know, I mean, let's just kind of call it for what it is. Logan Calder was a left-handed hitter too. Not the same guy as Hunter Hines. You're not going to pitch those guys the same. And, of course, Calder had one month in there where he was just absolutely outstanding. But now you're going to have some guys up there so they can compare notes in between at-bats. And so it's not going to be Hunter Hines kind of getting a unique pitching experience because of the fact there are going to be other guys with a similar skill set that can be game wreckers. They're going to see the same pitches. And maybe that's an aspect of this maybe you hadn't thought about. And so that's part of what we do here. We educate, we inform, try to entertain. Hey, I'm going to get out of here. It's later than I wanted to be. But the show will be up. Enjoy your weekend. Get a chance to watch a little preseason football, you know. Get some honeydew stuff done. I can tell you, I got some yard work to do. And I don't know if I want to do it, to be honest with you, but I got to at some point. But we'll be back on Monday. And, of course, we do have a football media opportunity on Saturday. So you can look for our content. Again, the Big Room stuff is free, whether you're a Gene's paid subscriber or not. Come on over there. You can check it out. We'll frame it up. We're not just going to post a video link and call it a day. We're going to transcribe it or write a feature around it. If you prefer just watching video, you're like, hey, I just want to hear what the coach has to say or the player has to say. Our feelings aren't hurt. And other times you're like, hey, I'm at work. I can't listen to a video. I got to read. We provide that for you too. So be sure and come check us out. Again, 60% off right now, the annual subscription rate. And at some point tomorrow, I'm going to float. And I share that with you guys. We've had a great stretch here. This last 2 weeks been really, really busy. People are starting to migrate back to Starkville. You know, if you're a person that struggles with chronic pain or anxiety, we may be able to help you. It's done wonders for my anxiety. I can tell you that I'm a much more relaxed person, and I'm sure Dana can attest to that. It's because I'm floating regularly. And I can always tell when I need a float. Maybe I've gone a little bit too long. My quality of sleep begins to diminish. Maybe you're a person, maybe you're not getting, you know, a solid, maybe even 6-7 hours of sleep. This could be something that could help you with that. So call 662-268-7601. We've had several Boneyard listeners that have come in, and you can even pick the Boneyard. When it says, how'd you hear about us? You can pick the Boneyard. We even had a guy down in Florida that did that. He even texted me to let me know. He's like, hey, I heard you talk about it on the show so much, I had to go try it. I can't get to Starkville, so I went to the True Rest down here in the Panhandle of Florida. Had a great experience. So even if you go to a True Rest franchise somewhere around the country, pick the Boneyard for me. It's just a point of pride. Really is. But the big thing is I want you to get some rest and relaxation. How many times in our life do we ever get a chance to just kind of relax and let our mind be quiet? This is the thing that has worked the best for me, which is why I bought a franchise in the first place. I said, I want my friends and my neighbors to have the opportunity to have this in their lives. We have some people that have been members with us now for 6 months. They come 2-3 times a month. Well, we have a couple young ladies that come 2-3 times a week. You know, one young lady told me this is the only thing that's ever really helped me. Maybe it'll help you too. Come be a part of that at True Rest of Starkville. And again, follow us on Facebook, Instagram, all that good stuff. And again, I've signed off on the final proofs. I will get the final copy here soon. And everything's going off to print. Again, it takes about 6 weeks. So again, it's not going to be late August. It's going to be, unless something crazy happens, it is going to be a September release. I'll have an official release date for you soon. I'm so excited about this book. So incredibly excited. Ready for you guys to have it. And, you know, it's one of those things, too, when you start thinking about the totality of your life, I'm proud of everything that I've ever worked on and written and attached my name to. But this is probably the one book that I look back and say, you know what? Dogpile was maybe the book I was born to write. When the Bottom Falls is probably the book that I had to write, right? To kind of share some experience, strength, and hope. But the Duty Noble book, I think, is such an important book for Mississippi State because there are people at Mississippi State that don't even know the stories that you're about to partake when you read this book. And again, DutyNobleBook.com to order. Hey, let's get out of here. I love each and every one of you, whether you love me back or not. I do. And I want to share this with you, too, before we get out of here. I had some situations earlier this week. You know, I deal a lot with people in recovery. And some people are still in active addiction. And I just want to share this with you. I really don't care where you are in life or how you feel about the direction of life. But I want you to understand that people do love you. I have been in the deepest depths of depression. I have been suicidal at times in my life. I've attempted suicide before and I lived through that. You are not alone. And a little voice in your head will sit there and tell you that nobody loves you. There's no coming back from this. But I can tell you, it won't always be this way. The moment will pass if we let it. And if you are thinking about hurting yourself or somebody else, call 988. And you can discuss that with somebody else. Anonymity is guaranteed. There is help available. I don't want any of you to suffer. And I know that there are some things in life that are difficult to get through. And there are some things that you never get over. You just kind of get on with it. And unfortunately, that's part of life. Some of us have been really hurt by other people. That doesn't mean it's too late for you to write a happy ending. And again, 988, it's a free call. And there are a lot of people that have worked hard to make those resources available to you. And so I encourage you to do that. And not to mention, it's Fix Me football season. You know, hey, we talk about seasonal depression, which I think is, in my honest opinion, that's a self-fulfilling prophecy. But how can you have any depression when you get into football season, baby? Let's go. Until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies and people can see a difference in the way we live.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.